There it is. All right. So this morning as we get into the message, it's now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Dear Lord, as we come to you once again today, we just want to ask your mercy and grace, Lord. We want to ask you wisdom and knowledge. I just want to pray, God, you just give us unction to preach this message the way you would intend it to be preached. And I pray, God, that you just lead us and direct us, Lord. Prepare the hearts and minds of the people as we prayed yesterday. And I pray, God, that the word would just touch their heart. I pray, Lord, that it would be a help to someone, Lord, for that's all we want to be is a help. And God, just go with us and lead us, for it's in your precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. A couple things. I've just got a couple of quick announcements to make, and then I'll get into the service. But when you leave, the treat bags, the stockings, we want them gone. So I don't care. Don't worry about looking like a pig. Amen. Take four or five with you as you go. Okay.
Nicole is taking cards to the rest home. Can we send them to the rest home? If there's any left, that's what we're going to do. But there's people here that wasn't here last night. So.
Yeah, that'll be fine. Okay. And one other, Wednesday night services are going to be canceled because it's Christmas. Everybody's going to be with their families, getting over gluttony. Amen. So I was teasing Mike, you know, over at church here a while back. We went to the Mexican restaurant. Man, I ate like a pig. I'm telling you, I ate like a pig. And I went in and I asked Mike, I said, if you commit gluttony in a Mexican restaurant, do you go to the Pope for forgiveness or can you go to the Lord? You know, I said, aggravating. And you know, Mike, you know, well, brother, I don't know, you know. But anyway, it just meant as a joke. But this is a sermon I'm having to write for school. I'm having to do a few things for school, and I don't want it to, and Tommy knows this, and I don't want to seem lazy or anything, but it's so, as Brother Peacock would say, apropos for this day. The things that we went through, I know Becca's testimony there this morning, and prayer request and everything, it's so apropos for what we're going through and things that a lot of us older people have been through and still go through, you know, in our lives. And what we see here in this passage, and I won't read the whole passage for sake of time, but the children of Israel had come across the Jordan. The children of Israel had come across the Jordan, and God had made a way for them to get into their land. And they've got 10 cities that they're going to have to conquer, and the first one's going to be Jericho. First one's going to be Jericho, and the walls are high, and the walls are thick. I think it was like 30 feet high, and something like 3 or 4 foot thick each wall was, and there was an inner wall and an outer wall. And when they found that wall, I think it was the 1930s, they discovered Jericho and where it was at, and they unearthed it. The walls didn't fall out. The walls fell in. Except where Rahab's house was at. Rahab the harlot, and all you know that story. Lord willing, I might preach that next week. I don't know. But the walls fell inward and not outward. So just keep that on your mind for just a second. Chapter 5, Joshua is standing there and he's looking up. It says he looked up at Jericho. And he wasn't just down there looking over the plains of Jericho. He looked up and he was looking at that wall, Jericho. And that city he was going to have to conquer, he knew he was going to have to conquer, but the Lord hadn't given him a battle plan yet. And he was getting up every morning and walking up there and looking at that wall going, man, I've got to conquer that city. And I've got no weapons of war. I've got no ladders. I don't have the things it's going to take to bring that wall down. How in the world am I going to bring that wall down? And we get like that in our lives today with problems, with troubles. And 15 years ago, it takes you, and young people don't get discouraged, it takes you to you about 43, 45, 50 years old in life to where you finally quit worrying about things. And you quit worrying about how you're going to get your bills paid. You quit worrying about how this is going to be done and that's going to be done and everything like that. I was there at the house yesterday, and if this would have happened 10 years ago, I believe I'd just fell down and cried with the heat pump. It went out yesterday. That's going to be about an $8,000 or $10,000 investment, I guess, here in a couple of weeks. But I called Christy and I said, well, guess what? She said, what? I said, the heat pump went out. That was my wall I was looking at. I was looking at that wall because I don't know how in the world we're going to get it done. But 10 years ago, I'd have worried to death about how I was going to get that heat pump and to get it fixed. Those are our walls. There's many different things. You know, just realizing there's a fortress in our lives is the main thing. Realizing that our problems that we have will overwhelm us, won't they? Amen. The problems we have in life will just overwhelm us and overtake us. And we can't see how to fix them. We know that we've got a Christmas dinner to go to Wednesday and we've got this problem to deal with. Or we know we've got a Thanksgiving dinner to go to and we've got this problem. How are we going to get this stuff accomplished? We got a Christmas play to put on. How are we going to do this? And the problems just seem to overwhelm us with grief. And not just those. No, those are minor things sometimes in our lives that just overwhelm us. People's got kids in the hospitals that are sick. Those problems overwhelm those families. Amen. Little Connor McCall and Jackson Hall and some of these others, Lisa Hawksett's granddaughter, those problems just overwhelm them with grief. There's many different fortresses in our lives. Our sins, the things we do, can devastate us, and not just us, but our whole family. Amen. They can devastate our whole family. Amen. They can hurt the ones around us. Our sins sometimes, and our lust and our desires and things that we, the problems with this flesh, and we war after this flesh all the time, like Bill talked about this morning, the problems with this flesh seem to overwhelm us sometimes, because sometimes I just don't know how to get it under control, amen? Sometimes I don't know how to deal with this flesh sometimes. And we'll get into that. I'll tell you another thing that can be a fortress in this day and age in which we live in, with this culture and this change. Me and Henry was talking about it a little bit last night going home, is lost people. I want to show you something about lost people right quick. And it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. I want to show you something about lost people. We wonder, how in the world can people live and not accept Christ? How in the world can people go through what they go through and not accept Christ? And right there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's why lost people are not saved. They're blinded to it. Their eyes are blinded to the light. Now let me show you our job as a Christian. And it was Paul's, the Lord give it to Paul. It's over here in Acts 26. Now, I want you to listen to these verses in Acts 26, verses 14. I'm going to start at verse 14. It says, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of them, of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in thee which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Now this is our job now, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Amen. And as I was talking to Henry last night coming home, and we were talking about several different things, and I've thought about this a lot, and we've had this conversation here quite a bit with my brothers and sisters in Christ. How in the world can you win somebody to Christ that just has never been raised that way? They've never been taught. They've never been shown. It's a fortress, folks. You've got to do it God's way. There's a fortress and there's a wall that you've got to get over. And you can't do it on your own. Amen? And we're going to get into that in just a second. But that fortress is high, the walls are thick, and there's no way to get that light into them. There's no way to get that light into them. To us, it seems like there is no way. We've tried. We've lived our life in front of them. We've got a culture shock. We've got all this PC culture and everything like that. We got to kind of worry about what we have to say. And I was telling Henry last night, I guess one of these days I'll probably be in prison because I'm going to preach this book. Amen. I'm going to preach this book. I'm not going to be harsh today or anything like that, but I'm going to preach this book. Amen. I've got several people that I work with and different things like that, and I have talked to them and explained to them. And other people, I wouldn't never said a word, but other people said, "Hey, Brother Walker, don't believe in that. I want to talk to him about that." And they just throw you under the bus and just walk off and laugh. Amen. They do that. They just walk off and laugh. Brother Dave, he don't like him old homosexual stuff like that. Blah, you know, and then they just walk off, you know, and they leave you with it. And it's like, how in the world? And they're looking at you like, oh yeah? Well. And you have to sit there and say, "Now, brother, look, it's not me, it's the Word of God." And you have to take them to the Word. Amen. Jesus Christ, when he was in the wilderness being tempted, he said, "It is written. It is written. It is written." Amen. So it's not us, and it's not my opinion. It's this Word. And I tell them, it's nothing, you know, if you want to be that way, fine. Be that way. I don't care, you know, whatever. But this book, this is why I believe it. Amen. This is why I believe it is the book. And you take them over to Romans 1, and you show them. Take them some other places there and show them. But that's what you get into is these problems. And you never want to give people your opinion. Amen?
Right.
You always want to give them that. But there's fortresses that we have to get over. There's things we have to get over. And we can't see how to get over that wall when we're having trouble. When our problems and our sicknesses and everything, our finances, everything, when it's overwhelming us, we can't see how to get over the wall. We know we've got to battle the fight. We know we've got to defeat that city. We know we have to take the things. But there's no way we can see to get over that fortress. Amen? There's no way. Now, God gives Joshua the battle plan here, verses 3 through 5, and it says, "And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once, thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him." Now, how in the world is that going to bring a wall down? How are we going to march around that wall every day for 6 days? We're going to look like the biggest fools that's ever crossed the Jordan River. Amen? I mean, I know we come across there on dry ground, and I know the people saw it, and they know it, and they're afraid of us. And God parted that water, and we walked across there, and we're the only ones that's ever come across the Jordan River that way. I know that. But we're still going to look stupid, marching around that wall every day. How in the world is that going to help? Folks, it might take 10 years, and it might take 15 years to get your fortress to fall. It might only take a couple of days. It might just take a prayer and a night. But however much time it takes, it's going to take some time for your fortress to fall. It's not going to happen overnight. And it's going to have to be done God's way, not my way. If it was me, I would have said, "All right, let's get some timber, and let's start building some ladders, and let's start getting this done and that done, and let's start making more arrows and more bows, and let's make us some catapults." And we know how to do that, folks. We're Jews. We're smart. Let's get this done. You know, they're smart people, amen. They're inventive people. Let's get this thing done, and let's take the city. That's not how God intended them to do it.
Right.
That's how I would want to do it. I want to just run in, guns blazing, and how that one guy said one time, sometimes I want to charge hell with a squirt gun full of gasoline and holler, "Jesus is coming," amen. That's kind of what I want to do, amen. But that's not how the way God intends us to do it sometimes, amen. That's not how he wants us to do it. He wants us to do it his way. Doing it our way is going to make me, doing it the way you want me to, God, is going to make me look stupid. I don't want to hang my head if somebody starts cussing me and yelling at me for telling them about the gospel. I don't want to hang my head when someone goes to cussing me and telling me off because of the book. Amen. because they think it's me. Amen. So what I've got to do is I've got to pray. I've got to read this book, and I've got to live my life to the best of my ability, to the best of God's ability. Not just my ability, but according to what this book says, I've got to live my life. Just keep myself clean. Stay out of the hell holes of the world, amen. Stay out of the things you're not supposed to be in. Not partake in the things you're supposed to partake in. And stay clean and wait on the Lord. I couldn't imagine these children of Israel and them getting together in companies. And Dr. Ruttman said one time, he said, I was a soldier. And he said, I don't know how in the world they kept soldiers quiet when you're marching. Because soldiers gripe and they complain. And they go on with one another. But these people, they couldn't speak a word. They couldn't quit marching. They had to stay in the march. They couldn't speak. And us Baptists couldn't make it, could we? Us Baptists couldn't make it. We'd want to say what we felt about it. We'd want to say what we, you know, well, I'm just too tired and I just don't want to do this. And I just don't want to do it. They weren't allowed to do that. They had to wait on God with their mouth shut. And that's hard to do, amen. I think it's 1 Corinthians, 1 Thessalonians 4:13, study to be quiet. Study to be quiet. That's something you have to learn to do, amen. That's not done overnight. And Elaine can tell you I ain't learned that yet, have I? Amen. So you're going around and they're marching around that city. And I'm sure the people on that wall, the Bible says that they were scared to death. They were trembling. That God had put the fear in them. But I'm sure there were people on that wall going, look at them idiots. What do they think they're going to accomplish by doing this? What are they going to do? Walk the ground out from underneath us? And I'm sure they were being yelled at and mocked and everything else from that wall. The Bible doesn't say that. But I could just imagine me being there in that city looking at them people. I'd be like, you're a bunch of fools. What are you doing? But that's the way God wanted them to do it. Amen. That's the way God wanted them to do it. It is hard for me to back up from a fight. Sometimes when someone is angry with me or upset with me, it is hard for me to back up from a fight. But that's the way God wants me to do it. Amen. It's God. It's not me. I've got to spend some time in prayer. I've got to spend some time in this book. When I was hunting last year, and it wasn't anything that came out of the book, but I was praying. I went down on Friday after Thanksgiving. I sat there on Saturday, and I went. I didn't want to be there. I knew what God wanted me to do. I went and sat at a little restaurant, got my Bible out. I ate a good meal, and I asked the waitress if I could stay there for as long as I wanted to, and she said, sure, we're not busy. So I got my book, and I laid it out there, and I started reading it. That's how God talks to us, folks. Yes, sir. It may not be revealed from what you're reading, but God will speak to you. You need silence. You need to cut off the stuff. You need it, man, and them phones to me are addictive. Amen. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, those phones are addictive. I love YouTube. Man, I can sit there and I look at YouTube all day long, just watching stuff I want to see. I love it. But I've got to cut that off. I need silence. If I'm going to want to know what God wants me to do, I'm going to have to get down, I'm going to have to pray and ask. Pray Him to show me, and I'm going to have to read some word. Amen. God said in that, and He's, while I was sitting there, and God didn't say it in an audible voice, but there was a thought come across my mind, and it was something a preacher said years ago, you're never going to be what God wants you to be until you start doing the things God wants you to do.
Amen.
And lay it down, all this stuff.
Amen.
And I said, Lord, if you'll let me get my camper home, it make no sense that I pulled it down on Friday and I pulled it back on Sunday. If you'll let me get my camper home, and you let me get my deer stands out of the woods, I'll go back to Bible school, Lord. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go back to Bible school. I will be a servant, and I will strive to serve you, and that's what I'm going to do. And that's what it took. I wouldn't have got that unless I was sitting there reading the book.
Amen.
Man,
amen.
I wouldn't have got that. I wouldn't have got that back at the camp talking to the deer hunters and just shooting the bull and all that stuff. I got that from reading the book.
Amen.
I went back, I got two of my deer stands out of the woods, and I gave the third one away because I knew I wasn't going to have time to get it out to get home before dark. Amen. I told the Lord I'd come home that day. Amen. And if I'd got the third one out, I'd probably stayed an extra night, but I told the Lord I was going to come home. And the Lord has done nothing but help me. Since I decided to do what He wanted me to do, He's done nothing but help me. Amen. Amen. Just those times. And I tell you another thing, folks. To attack it any other way and to do it any other way than the way God wants you to do it will cause casualties.
Amen.
They could have attacked it any other way, but I don't think they lost a man. They didn't lose a man. If they'd attacked it any other way, there would have been casualties. There's been casualties in my life. Amen. There's been friends and family that have left me and gotten bitter because of the way I've done things. It wasn't the way God wanted them done. There's been casualties. I've set my family back years because I wouldn't preach and I wouldn't do what God wanted me to do 11 years earlier. Amen. I wouldn't do it. I wanted to do it my way. And even when I was called to preach, I wanted to do it my way. And I'm sure Tommy Holden just sat there and shook his head like, that little fool, he'll never learn. Amen. He'll never learn. And one of these days, but that's what you get into, folks, to attack it any other way will cause casualties. It won't be the right way. Amen. You've got to wait on God. When the wall comes down, folks, there's still work to be done. Just because you get you win a battle in life does not mean you can quit working. Amen?
That's right.
There's still work to be done. The sins in your life are still going to affect you and going to affect your family. Even though you get, You win the battle against them, and you get a victory over them. A victory is what I'm looking for. You get victory over them, and man, I've got this down pat now. Something else will pop up.
Yeah.
Amen.
It, yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Some old problem will pop up that you'll have to deal with, and you're like, Lord, I just got out of this. And there's always problems that pop up, folks, at my house. I live above my in-laws.
Yeah.
Amen. There's always problems that pop up at my house. And but there's things in your life that's going to have to be defeated. Just because you get victory over one thing doesn't mean that you're not going to have victory over something else. Amen. You're going to have to still defeat things in your life. Amen. God's brought you through so much, and what some Christians do is they use God as a means of escape every time they get in trouble.
Amen.
They want to run and grab a hold of the horns of the altar every time they have a little trouble. That's the only time they come to Him, amen.
Yeah.
When people's in good times, they forget God.
Amen.
Don't turn back and forget Him,
amen.
And quit living for Him and striving just because you're having a time of goodness, amen. Because you're getting some good substance in your life and your finances are good and everything like that. Tommy's been preaching on before he had his surgery those 2 weeks. He's preaching on the power of negative thinking. Amen. Do I really need to go out and buy that? Could I pay off a little bit on this? Could I do without this to put a little bit more money over here and save for this time that's going? So that you have to think about these things, folks. You have to think about these things. And not just in your life and your finances, but with God. Is that going to affect my service for God? Is what I'm going to do going to affect the service of God? Well, I could go out here and we could go over here and buy this, but couldn't I put a little bit more money over here to help brother and sister so-and-so? Couldn't I put that into the church? Couldn't I do this? So there's all kinds of different things that can affect you, amen, with your walk with God. I tell you another thing, too. Going back to these lost people, I want to show you another verse right quick, and I'll just show you one more. I want to show you how these people get saved, amen. Psalms 146, verse 8. The only way these people are going to get saved, remember, they're blinded. These lost men are blinded. They don't know the Lord. They don't understand, amen. Just like Bill was talking about. They don't understand how we can believe in something we've never seen.
Mm-hmm.
How we can believe in something and be saved. Amen.
Amen.
They just can't understand it. Well, if so-and-so can do it and get to heavens, and so can I. They don't understand. that it's through grace.
Amen.
Amen. It's by faith, through grace, amen, they get saved. They don't understand that. Just by the belief in Him. Psalm 146, verse 8 says, "The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind, and the Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous." So it's the Lord that openeth the eyes.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. We take them the Word. We give them the Word. And just like I heard Brother Mike say over there a couple of weeks ago, there was a verse that stuck in my mind that I learned in Sunday school that stuck in my mind and burned in my mind, and that's what brought me back to the Lord, was the Word. Amen? Amen. That's what got me to the place I'm at today, was when I was young, someone gave me the Word of God, and it got in my mind, and that's what we've got to take to the world. Amen?
Amen.
I know we need to live a good life. I know we need to be the best example to the lost world we can be, but folks, that's not the only thing that we need to be doing.
Amen.
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 We don't need to just be a good example all the time. We need to give them the Word.
Amen.
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 I've been studying giving and grace giving and different things like that. And you know, I'll say this. We're not obligated to help the poor. Amen. We're not. The church is not obligated to help the poor.
Amen.
But I don't see anything wrong with doing it.
That's right.
And if we help the poor, we ought to give them the Word.
Amen.
And if they won't receive the Word, we ought not to help them.
Amen.
That's the way I see it. Amen. I'll give it to you. We'll help you. But let us give you the Word. Amen. We'd like to share the gospel with you if you'll let us help you. I don't think we ought to help them if they won't let us share the gospel. Amen. That's just the way I see it. I've been studying giving a little bit. And a little bit of that, and I'll just give you that. Amen. But I know a lot of people, they want to use the church for their benefit. They want to do this and that. But folks, we've got to realize that it's up to us as a body, as an individual, to get the Word of God to people. Amen. It's up to us to get the Word of God to people, and that's what's going to save them. That's how the Lord is going to open their eyes. Amen. Amen. That's how He's going to get there. When we do what's pleasing to God, amen, we can lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven.
Amen.
Amen. When we do what's pleasing in our sight. These people here in Jericho, they had to, the city of Jericho was the only city that they were allowed to take the treasury and keep it and take it to the house of the Lord. Everything else in every other city had to be destroyed and done away with. But that tenth, that first city, all the treasury that was in Jericho got to come before the Lord. Amen. And we'll get into the other part the next time. But when you do what God wants you to do and it's pleasing to God, you get to lay up for yourself treasures.
Amen.
Amen. Over in 1 Corinthians 3, you get to lay up for yourself treasures. Amen. Gold, silver, precious stones. I hope we ain't going to have no wood, hay, and stubble. Amen. Because if we do, me and Henry are going to be up there at the Judgment City of Christ going, "Man, your ash pile's bigger than mine. Look yonder. Your ash pile's bigger than mine." I hope that ain't how we are, folks. I hope when we get there, we got some gold and silver and precious stones, amen, that won't burn.
Amen.
That we can throw back at the feet of Jesus. Amen. I hope I've got something to give to Jesus. Amen. That's the only time we're ever going to give anything back to Jesus. Everybody's all the time going, "I wish there was something I could give back to. I wish there was something I could do." There's nothing you can do but believe in Him, love Him, read this book, and do what it says. Amen.
Amen.
For right now, there's nothing we can do. But that day, oh yeah,
yes,
that day,
amen,
when Apostle Paul comes in our balancing crowns and he's got everything, like Tommy said, I can't do this as good as Tommy can. Boy, Tommy can sit there and he can just go through this illustration and just talk about it. But when he's got these crowns and he's having to balance them, and he's probably got servants carrying them in bags, amen, because he's got so many. And Paul's going to be able to cast them at the feet of Jesus. And there I'm going to be with my one little diamond. Sorry, Lord. That's all I got. And it's going to be shameful, I believe. Amen. It ought to be a fearful thing to worry about. I know we're saved. But it ought to be a fearful thing to worry about standing before a holy and just God. Amen. And being able to give Him back something. I'll tell you another thing, too. God's given you fruit for your labor. God's helped you. And He's allowed you to win a soul to Christ. Just because you've got through that fortress and you've broken down that wall and you've got him to see the light, or her, and they've gotten saved, It's not time to quit. Amen.
That's right, brother.
It's time to disciple them.
Yeah. Amen.
They tore down this wall. When the wall went down on the seventh day, when the wall went down, it wasn't just victory and then walk off. They had to go in there and destroy that city.
Yeah.
And get all the treasury and take it under the treasury of the Lord. There was still work to be done. Amen.
Amen.
The wall come down, but there was still work to be done. Amen. So he gives you fruit for your labor, folks. It's not time to quit. It's time to disciple. Amen. Time to disciple. And when you do that, and when you do what's pleasing unto God, then you can lay up treasure for yourself. Amen. Lay up treasure for yourself. I wonder today, how many of us, as Barbie comes to the piano and I'll hush, but I wonder how many of us today have things in our lives that have come up and we've tried to handle them on our own. Amen. I'll be the first to admit it. Amen. There's been things in my life that I have tried to handle on my own. There were things in my life when I was being called into the ministry, I could probably come to this man right here and talk to him and tried to and save myself a whole lot of heartache. But I didn't. I did it my way. Amen. And that's not how the Lord intended it. And it took years to correct the way I had done it. Amen. And I'm still not there. I'm not talking as one that's obtained. Amen. I'm still not there. I'm still working. But there's things that happen because I did it my way and not God's way. There's things that we've went through in this life with decisions with our kids' education, decisions with sickness, doctor's visits, everything like that, taking a new job, taking all that stuff. When we do it our way, sometimes it just don't work. Amen. We've got to do it God's way.
Amen.
And God's way is prayer, reading the book, and waiting on Him.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Go ahead, sister.